It's my new obsession. Yeah, pink, it's not even a question. Pink on the lips of your lover. Cause pink is the love you discover.
Welcome to the Marilyn York Show. Warning, this program is not for the faint of heart. Listen at your own peril. If you have questions about marriage, relationships, or divorce, call 823-1920. And now, here's your host, Marilyn York.
Good morning, this is Marilyn York, and guess what? Today is my birthday. Yay, I'm 35 today, and I'm in the studio talking to you guys, so you can call and say happy birthday to me if you want, I'll let you. I have attorney Jeff Giles here today for the talk of the century. We are going to talk about the mortgage industry, reorganizing those loans, foreclosures, mediation, short sales, debt negotiation, all the ugly stuff that I don't know crap about. And Jeff is my go-to guy who does this for a living and is really smart about it. So I think you're going to learn a lot today. And if you want to call and talk to him, please feel free. 823-1920 if you want to call and speak with Jeff or myself. You can always Facebook questions to me as well, as always. So let's get into the nitty-gritty, Jeff. Welcome to the show.
How are you this morning?
I am doing great.
Day older, right?
I know. I'm getting old now. I'd have to have an amniocentesis. That's the big mark of all dried up eggs for women in our youth. I'm just going to throw it out there. So
it happens to the best of us.
It's a sad world. Mortgages. What is going on in the world, Jeff? What should we talk about first? The whole loan modification mortgage snafu.
Well, I think in this country we need banking, but I'm getting a little tired of the bankers. They have had their way with us, and not even the Congress can do anything about it, even though they've thrown trillions of dollars at the problem. One of the things that I think is important to understand right up front is the fact that a mortgage, it's called a mortgage, but it's really a deed of trust in Nevada, only gets sold once. I have people come in to me and they say, well, my mortgage sold five times this year. And I'm saying to them, well, you need to understand what's going on under the covers. When a mortgage is originated.
I love knowing what's going on under the covers, Jeff.
I know that.
Pull back the sheet for me.
Where are those covers? The mortgage gets sold one time to what's, for lack of a better term, as a warehousing entity. From then on, it gets sold to a pool of mortgage-backed securities. These are these toxic assets we've heard so much about, and a pool trustee is the one that owns them. The servicing of this can be changed many, many times. In fact, the place where you send your money every month is a servicer. That is the company that takes in your, say, $2,000 mortgage payment, pays the taxes, the insurance. Takes
I wish it was $2,000 for me, but go ahead.
$2,000.
Living a fantasy.
There you go.
So like Bank of America, if I send my money to them, allegedly, they're just the servicer.
Probably they're just the servicer. Now, Bank of America owns a lot of portfolio loans from Countrywide that it bought. And that may actually take Bank of America down sometime because Countrywide paper is just so toxic. They thought they were getting a deal, and they've worst mistake they've ever made in corporate history. Anyway,
good. I'm glad someone else is suffering with us.
That's their story, not mine. If it's not Countrywide paper, it is almost certainly being serviced for one of these pools. And typically, if Bank of America is getting a $2,000 a month payment from the homeowner, you know, it's tendering 50 to the insurance company, 50 for the taxes, 50 for itself, and the rest goes on to the pool of investors. And then from that pool, there are bonds that have been written. They run from AAA bonds to, you know, C-minus bonds. And it's the C-minus bonds and the B bonds and whatnot that aren't being paid today because of all the great defaults. The AAA, these are called tranches. The AAA bonds always get their money because, you know, only 15 or 20% of the mortgages are in default right now. They would have to be at 100% default rate for that to change, but that's a different story.
So what's going on with the service providers now? I assume they used to make money with volume, and if they're only making $50 a transaction, for example.
Sure.
So what's the impact on them now that the default rate's gone up so high?
Well, servicing used to be a greatly, wildly profitable business. When the default rate was 1%, which it's been historically for years. You know, it varies a little bit, but there's always some reason that a mortgage is in default, even when there's no recession going on. The servicing industry makes a ton of money. The break-even point, I'm guessing, is 2 or 3%. And then when you're in 10% default, like we are in the country, which is really free fall, the servicing industry is losing a ton of money. And the reason is this, and this is what people usually have such trouble understanding and believing. When you're paying your mortgage, the servicer is making $50 a month or something. I don't know what the numbers are going to be. It'll depend on each case. But when you're not paying it, they still have to pay the pool. They have to send that money upstream. And they don't send it directly to the pool. There's a lot of intermediaries, but the thing of it to understand.
So like that $1,900 they were getting, they're still paying when you're not paying them.
Right. They're taking the $1,850 or whatever the number is and sending that upstream. Well, what does that mean?
That costs a fortune if they're not getting it from you.
They're hemorrhaging. And that's why they're so well motivated to foreclose, get you out of there quickly, because when they can get you out of there, when they can foreclose, they get what's called the REO money, the real estate owned money, and that's when they foreclose and sell the property.
And then they don't have to pay anymore to
right.
the pool.
They tender that money to the pool and they wash their hands. On the other hand, if they modify the loan, if they change the interest rate, change the terms, capitalize the arrearages, or even, heaven forbid, reduce the principal, then the pool trustee comes back and says, you broke our deal. You buy the loan, you pay for it in full. And that's where the tension is between the servicer and the people that own the loan. And that's what's so hard to get across, because the securitization process, which really replaced the collapse of the savings and loans 20 years ago or 30 years ago now, that is how it's structured. And it's a brilliant device for raising money in good times. In bad times, it just comes apart.
So the negotiation of loan modifications, or in the foreclosure process, this mediation program. First, let's start with what it is. What is this mediation process that started?
Well, the state of Nevada passed a new law, and it's been effective for a year and a quarter now. It went into effect July last year, and it's called AB 149, and it allows homeowners who live in the house to elect to mediate their loan foreclosure. When they get a notice of default and election to sell, which is the document that starts the foreclosure, they file what's called an election to mediate for $200, and then they have to sit down with the lender and talk turkey, try to make a deal that lets them keep the home and lets the lender not foreclose. That's the whole point, and it's a very good law. It's been enacted in a bunch of states. And it has put the brakes on the foreclosure mess.
But who are you actually negotiating with? Since you said we have the servicer and we have the actual pool that owns the loan, who are you sitting in mediation with?
Well, that's the $64,000 question. And that actually, in my view, is the fundamental flaw in the system, because the statute, the law says you have to sit down with the beneficial interest holder in the note. That's legalese for the guy that owns it. Well, it's not a guy. It's a pool. It's a trust. It's a billion-dollar entity that is of securities. And there is one entity, one person that runs it, the pool trustee. That is the legal owner of the loan. Now, that legal owner has designated the servicer to act on its behalf. But as I said before, there's a tension between the servicer.
A conflict, it sounds like.
A conflict of interest,
yeah.
And what's happening at these mediations is the servicer is showing up and, you know, is patting you on the back and saying, trust me. And, you know, they're winking at you and they got that big gold tooth up there in the front. And, you know, people are just buying into it lock, stock, and barrel, when in point of fact, there is frequently a terrible conflict built in between the two. The big litigation in this country going on in New York is between the pool trustees and the servicers, because the pool trustees are saying you're modifying too many loans, and the servicers are saying we're just following HAMP. And HAMP is the Homes Affordable Modification Plan that Obama put through a year ago, and that's the program that everybody's trying to get into to, you know, get their interest rate reduced and to get a deal on their mortgage that'll allow them to keep their home. It's a program that has got a lot of promise. It hasn't been enacted or implemented the way anyone anticipated. They said within the first year, there was going to be a couple of million modifications, and it's more like a quarter of a million. So it's getting off the ground slowly, but it is working, and I have seen it work in a number of situations. I just struck a deal with one of the big ones, I think it was PNC Mortgage, just a couple days ago to rewrite the loan at 2% for a five-year period and recapitalize a year's worth of arrears. So that worked out really well for the guy. But they do this because the government is throwing money at it wildly. The deal is not to lose any money in this business. So the servicers make these modifications because the interest differential is paid by the government under this program.
But what is the motive of the pool people, the holders of the note? What do they want to see happen in mediation? What's ideal for them?
They don't care. They're so far removed. The pool was set up on the basis that they're going to get their money
from one source or another.
Hell or high water.
So the service provider or the person.
Right. Or these are called the default credit swaps. They buy a kind of insurance to make sure that they get paid their money. And the overlay on that is there's Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae guarantees that come into play where they can actually get money from the government from that source. There's really two different kinds of loan modifications that are quite prevalent. The HAMP, which is for certain kinds of loans, and if you can't get into the HAMP, you can get a Freddie or a Fannie modification, and those have been available all along. HAMP has only been around for a year.
Okay. We have to go to a break. This sounds like a perfect time to do that. And then we're going to come back and talk to Mr. Giles about his success that he's had and what he's seen going on. Are they actually regulating or modifying these loans? And are you getting rid of principal? Those sort of questions. We'll take a break and we'll see you guys in just a moment.
ChristianMarket.com. This is the world-famous Bill Hendry Show.
I got David Hall. Hold on. Yeah.
So that's why.
We're back on the air here. David G. Hall is the vice president of syndication. My question for you was simply, why are we having Bud doing the news? You know.
Because I just got done telling you.
Can you share that with the audience?
Why?
Because I think they'd like to know why.
You know, all you're doing is embarrassing Bud.
And I'm not trying to embarrass Bud. I just don't think he's the greatest reader.
Well, let me explain something to you, Mr. Shakespeare.
I'm not trying to say anything about me. I just don't know that Bud reads all that well.
We've done research, and research shows that in talk radio, it lends credibility to the host. If you got a host and you got a news guy, okay? So we want to do the news. We got a news guy, all right?
But why Bud?
Because I ain't got the budget for something better. How about that? How's that grab you, huh? Does that feel good? When you settle down on that, man, you like the feel of that? I haven't got the budget, but I think he does a good enough job, okay? You worry way too much.
But he can... I'm sorry, Bud, but you can barely read.
Barry could talk about it. He'd give me a chance.
Yeah, you're embarrassing him.
Michael Savage has an opinion.
If we still had a head of the FBI who hadn't been gelded, I wouldn't have to be doing this job.
On Fox News Radio 1270.
If you've never visited the Wild Horse Saloon, you need to come out and visit. It's Nevada's most unique saloon with great food, great libations, amazing entertainment 24 hours a day. What kind of entertainment, you ask? Well, the Wild Horse Saloon has brought back live burlesque shows with new shows starting every hour, 24 hours a day, with different entertainers every hour. No show is ever the same twice. So come to the Wild Horse. Throw your legs over the saddle. We have actual Western saddle bar stools. And order a cold beer. The Wild Horse Saloon is the place to go and let your hair down. Just have fun. We have fabulous food with everything from pizzas and wings to hamburgers and steaks. We're a huge lunch spot from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. and we serve our full food menu until 10 at night and hors d'oeuvres the rest of the night. I'm Susan Austin, and I'm personally inviting you to come out and see us at the Wild Horse Saloon. Take I-80 East to exit 28. It's just 15 minutes from downtown Reno. Follow the signs to the Wild Horse Canyon from the exit. See you soon.
I'm attorney Marilyn York, and my firm exclusively focuses on men's rights in divorce, child custody, and family law matters. I hate advertising. If I'm being honest, I hate it more than anything. Why should you believe anything I have to say about myself? I'm in the best position to say great things about myself, but you don't know me, and there's no reason for you to trust me. So I'm going to ask you to do one thing. If you need help in family law matters, please ask two people in a town of this size, and you should be able to hear my name. I've been doing this for over 11 years exclusively, and if you can't ask two people you trust about me and hear good things, then I'm not the right attorney for you. On the other hand, I believe you will hear good things about us, and when you do, then we're the law firm for you. At a minimum, you will need legal advice when going through something like this, and you may need representation. Again, this is Marilyn York. Please call us at 324-7979. That's 324-7979. Or visit us on the web at marilynyork.net, not com, marilynyork.net.
There's a piece of Nevada's history just 15 minutes from downtown Reno, the legendary Mustang Ranch Museum, Nevada's first legal bordello. Learn about owner Joe Conforti, where he went sideways with the feds over taxes, and they ended up owning and operating the Mustang Ranch. Take a walk down memory lane with Joe and Sally. See where they lived while they worked. You can see the Rolling Stone magazine cover featuring Joe and his ladies, among other original magazine covers. The Mustang Ranch Museum runs tours from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. for groups large and small, Monday through Saturday. If you have a large group, please book in advance by calling 775-343-1424. Walk-ins are welcome, too. Tours cost $5. Plus, we have a wonderful gift shop with T-shirts, shot glasses, baseball caps, and the largest selection of Native American jewelry. Take I-80 East, exit 28, 15 minutes from downtown. Follow the signs to the Wild Horse Canyon from the exit, and that's where you'll find us.
Healthy, fresh, Art Smart.
This week, enjoy Art Smart products your family will eat up. One serving of Van Gogert contains the live and active culture your kids need. Buy one, get higher test scores free. And nothing satisfies a child's craving for self-expression like Tchaikovsky's Nutcrackers, now with more music and dance in every bite. Try original flavor or new Sugar Plum Fairy. Feed your kids the arts. Visit AmericansForTheArts.org to learn how. The arts. Ask for more. Brought to you by Americans for the Arts, the NAMM Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Fox News Radio, 1270.
Welcome back to the Marilyn York Show. This is Dell, the producer, and Marilyn does not have control of the microphone right now. I've got some special guests that want to say happy birthday, Marilyn.
Marilyn, it's Erin and Erin and baby Brooklyn. We're calling to wish you a happy birthday.
Thank you so much, Erin's and baby
you.
Brooklyn. Love you too.
And Erin.
So thank you.
And the other Erin.
The Erin's.
The bad Erin.
This is the Erin's from Red Chair, the greatest store in Reno. So we love
you're
you guys.
The best. We love you.
Thank
have a
you.
Great day.
Thank you. Bye-bye. That was very sweet. I love birthdays on air. I feel like I have all these friends. It's totally fabricated. But welcome back with Jeff Giles. And we're talking about a not as fun topic, mortgages, although it's fun with Jeff. He's pretty fascinating. So we were talking about mediation and the foreclosure world, AB 149. And what are the possible outcomes? How does it go down when you get into the mediation process?
Well, ideally, you're going to want to make a deal with the lender to keep your house. He doesn't have to take it back. The neighborhood doesn't get wrecked, and everybody's happy. That's how it's supposed to work.
The neighborhood doesn't get wrecked.
Oh, I've got houses that have been foreclosed out where I live, and it's just terrible. The lawns are dead, and there's these big red tags on the doors that
Who
say—
Who are these pigs, by the way? Like, you live in your house for free for like a year or two, and then you're a big old nasty pig, and you can't mow your lawn? How lazy and disgusting are you? I don't understand this. And let's take the appliances, too. These used to be like middle class, nice people.
And they sell the copper pipe down on 4th Street, you know.
Seriously. I can't take it. 823-1920 if you want to call and complain, too. Go ahead, Jeff. I interrupted you.
Well, the idea is to make a deal with the lender so that you can keep your house. And that happens, at least for me, about half the time.
So mow your lawns is the message here, people.
Well,
keep your house.
Mow your lawns and do your paperwork right. You got to bring a horrible amount of paperwork to these mediations. And, of course, the banks have to bring paperwork, too. And they seem to be unable to do it.
Shocking.
And that brings me to the second outcome. And the second outcome is, you know, they sit down with no paperwork, they pretend to make a deal, and then the mediator says,
You pretend to make a deal.
Well, they pretend to talk about it is what it is. You know, they send a chair sitter who is a local contract guy that hasn't read the file. And
doesn't have the file. Doesn't
oftentimes
care.
He doesn't, yeah.
Yeah.
And he calls somebody, probably offshore, you can tell by the accents if they're in this country or not, who has got authority to modify the loan, and he just plugs, or she plugs it into a computer to see if it'll fit in HAMP or Freddie Mac, Fannie Mae, and that is what passes for authority to make a deal, authority to modify the loan. And if that happens and they don't come to a term, don't come to a deal, then the mediator fills out paperwork that says this really isn't up to snuff and the foreclosure is canceled. And that happens a very substantial part of the time, which means the bank has to start a new foreclosure over or ask the court to green light the process.
So and that's if the BS legal meter goes off, the banks get dinged for it.
Right. And that is what is so powerful a tool to keep the homes from foreclosing. This happens a very significant portion of the time. This is kind of passed off by the powers that be as a success, but it really is just pushing things into the future, pushing the problems down the road 6 months.
Without prejudice, they can file again.
Sure.
And they do file again.
And they do. And then, of course,
hopefully they do it better this time.
We go through the drill again, and that's always fun.
Do you see them show up the same lame way the second time ever? But they're no paperwork in the same.
Usually they get it. They get a little better paperwork deal going in. But all this is subcontracted out. You see, the servicers, their business model is to have no employees and just make money with computers. I guess they learned that from Bill Gates or something. But frankly, in the real world, there has to be people that have authority to do things, to think about things, and to make decisions about those things. The third possibility, of course, is that both parties negotiate in good faith, the paperwork was correct, and the foreclosure goes forward. But I've done 50 of these so far, and I've never seen that happen.
Or do they ever negotiate and the foreclosure is actually, you know, done? They negotiate to retain the home in mediation?
Oh, yeah. That's the idea.
Okay.
And that happens a very significant percentage of the time, but it's not always. There's sometimes they just can't come to terms, and it's a function, like I said again, of this pooling and servicing agreement that sits in the background. It's the agency relationship between the owner of the loan and the servicer. And they're dancing around the terms and the conditions that come in that. And what's really, really egregious on behalf of these banks, they'll say, well, this is proprietary. You don't get to see that. When in point of fact, these are publicly traded securities, and all those agreements, they're in the form of a prospectus, or they're on the Edgar website with the SEC, their public record, and they still say, well, we can't show it to you because it's private. And that's just a lie.
There was an article in the RIT, which is our local publication for the attorney world, and it talked about foreclosure mediation the first year of statistics. It gave some statistics, and I know you and I have talked about this. I'm interested in talking on the air about it. It said cases in which agreements were reached or foreclosures were not allowed to go forward, 3,415 in Nevada, or 88%. Do you think that is an accurate statistic based on what you're seeing?
It's probably accurate, but it's misleading in that it doesn't break down the deals versus the dead foreclosures. That's a very important number, and I'm thinking it's right around 40-60%. I don't know. An article didn't say. But in the cases where the foreclosure was simply killed, and that happens a significant percentage of the time, there's really no closure for the homeowner. And, of course, a person doesn't like to be in their house with this foreclosure NOD hanging over their heads. They've got kids in school. You know, they want to make plans.
Sure.
And even though they get to stay there, it's somewhat unsatisfying. And one of the things that I counsel my clients is this. We can keep you from losing your house. Don't worry about that. Pay me to do the worrying, but that's not a very satisfactory statement. They worry anyway. And you get people that are weeping and they're afraid to be kicked out and they're afraid of, you know, knocks at the door. And that's very tough to counsel a client with that because of the uncertainty. And the foreclosure companies are absolutely brutal. I just had one with, I'll say it, Bank of America. We made a deal, put it in writing, signed, sealed, and delivered under the mediation program. And then they sent the client another foreclosure. And I just about had a hemorrhage over that.
What did you do about it? Do you go back to mediation and then?
Well, I wrote letters. I wrote letters for 90 days and I told them that, you know, yesterday, Friday was the deadline, and we were going to sue them if they didn't rescind it. Well, they rescinded it Thursday.
Oh, nice.
You know, this poor woman's got three kids, single mom, and she's just, you know, in a panic. Am I going to lose my house? Why do we do this? What's going on?
Yeah, that is shocking.
And Bank of America just says, ha-ha.
Yeah, because if you weren't around, then they would have gotten away with it probably.
Oh, right. It would have been a catastrophe.
And that leads me into why should someone use an attorney in a situation like that? What are the advantages?
the banks try and get over on the people. The banks will say anything. It's a federal crime for you to lie to a bank, at least a federally insured depository institution, whereas they train their people to lie to you.
And there's no crime in that, apparently, or at least they're not enforcing.
It's their business model.
Nice.
It really is.
And this is complicated. I mean, people that are listening can now see just some of the complications that it would take an attorney to navigate through. What are the? How do you get paid? Are there new restrictions on you getting paid?
Oh, it's just incredible. I mean, they say the Obama administration is so much for the little guy. They have passed one trade regulation just last month to prevent lawyers from helping people negotiate debts with credit card companies, and they're about to pass another trade regulation that's going to prevent lawyers from helping homeowners with loan modifications. They are trying to make it so that the average guy can't get a lawyer when he needs it the most. And that I find to be appalling.
And does it say that specifically in the trade regulation, or are they saying it more indirectly or causing
it? Well, it's, of course, they can't forbid you from talking to a lawyer, but what they do is they can tell the lawyer he can't get paid until he does it successfully. And frankly, I don't know a whole lot of lawyers who are going to want to take a case and then get paid down the road, maybe if they're successful.
I'll just say that right now, not me.
PI lawyers do that. But their payday is $1 million or something.
Not
my payday is going to be $2,500.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to take a case,
work it
for a year, and maybe get $2,500. I'll mow lawns. I can do better doing that.
It's better for your tan, too.
Absolutely.
Wow. So that trade regulation you expect to pass?
Yes. It's at the FTC right now. The one that was effective last month. Well, actually, it was promulgated last month. It becomes effective September 27th, is for the credit card workouts. And we don't know when the home modification deal is going to come down, probably before the end of the year. One of the things that prompted this were all the crooks.
Yeah, you know, I come
in Monday morning, and I've got two dials on my at my office asking me if I want to hire this company to modify my home mortgage. I mean, there's a shocking bunch of crooks out there that, you know, pretend they know how to do this. If you got an 800 number and a P.O. box in L.A., you're going to stay away. You're going to lose your money.
Yeah, send a couple thousand in and then never hear from them again.
Oh, it's typically $5,000 people charge. And at least once a week, someone comes to me, help me with my home loan modification. Oh, and by the way, get the $5,000 back I gave to XYZ company in Florida or God knows where. And I tell them, that's money gone. Figure, you know, it's never coming back.
So the trade regulation goes in to try to prevent the crooks, but it doesn't accept out attorneys, and so it's doing more harm.
Yeah, it sweeps very, very broadly.
What kind of lobbyists are we? We're lawyers. We write the laws. We should protect ourselves. What kind of amateurs are up there?
Don't get me started on that.
I mean, come on.
We get discharged
in bankruptcy, too, and I always thought, what is wrong with us lawyers? We discharge ourselves in bankruptcy court? Come on. We got to get our own backs.
Well, that's the problem. Everybody's been getting their own back in Washington to the point the government's entirely up for sale, and you know nothing gets passed that's worth a hoot anymore. I don't want to go down this road. Let's talk about something else.
It's too bitter.
It's too terrible.
All right. Well, we're talking about mortgages and then the foreclosure differences. So we have a break coming up. As soon as we come back, I want you to talk about the differences between a short sale and a foreclosure and whether or not you think people should consider short sales. What are the snafus to look out for? That sort of thing.
I gotcha. And I'll give you a little birthday spanking in the meantime.
Woo!
How's that?
Yeah. And we're going to do that off air for FCC regulation purposes. So we'll be back.
Who's on your SNIT list? Todd Schnitt's list is growing every day. Listen live weekdays at noon. The Schnitt Show, Fox News Radio 1270.
If you've never visited the Wild Horse Saloon, you need to come out and visit. It's Nevada's most unique saloon with great food, great libations, amazing entertainment 24 hours a day. What kind of entertainment, you ask? Well, the Wild Horse Saloon has brought back live burlesque shows with new shows starting every hour, 24 hours a day, with different entertainers every hour. No show is ever the same twice. So come to the Wild Horse. Throw your legs over the saddle. We have actual Western saddle bar stools and order a cold beer. The Wild Horse Saloon is the place to go and let your hair down. Just have fun. We have fabulous food with everything from pizzas and wings to hamburgers and steaks. We're a huge lunch spot from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., and we serve our full food menu until 10 at night. and hors d'oeuvres the rest of the night. I'm Susan Austin, and I'm personally inviting you to come out and see us at the Wild Horse Saloon. Take I-80 East to exit 28. It's just 15 minutes from downtown Reno. Follow the signs to the Wild Horse Canyon from the exit. See you soon.
I'm attorney Marilyn York, and my firm exclusively focuses on men's rights in divorce, child custody, and family law matters. Are you tired of being ignored and mistreated? Don't let your divorce lawyer treat you like your wife did. I thought divorce was about breaking free from the ball and chain. At our office, you get competence with personality and hopefully some laughs to take the edge off. Divorce is hard enough. Don't let your lawyer be part of the pain. Let's be honest. Legal representation is expensive, but often necessary. As the saying goes, everyone hates lawyers until they need one. You can get punished for free by calling your ex. Don't pay your attorney for punishment when you're finally getting rid of her. At a minimum, you need legal advice when you're going through something like this. And you may need representation. If you do, call me, Marilyn York, at 324-7979. That's 324-7979. Or visit our website at marilynyork.net, not com.
There's a piece of Nevada's history just 15 minutes from downtown Reno, the legendary Mustang Ranch Museum, Nevada's first legal bordello. Learn about owner Joe Conforti, where he went sideways with the feds over taxes, and they ended up owning and operating the Mustang Ranch. Take a walk down memory lane with Joe and Sally. See where they lived while they worked. You can see the Rolling Stone magazine cover featuring Joe and his ladies, among other original magazine covers. The Mustang Ranch Museum runs tours from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. for groups large and small, Monday through Saturday. If you have a large group, please book in advance by calling 775-343-1424. Walk-ins are welcome, too. Tours cost $5. Plus, we have a wonderful gift shop with T-shirts, shot glasses, baseball caps, and the largest selection of Native American jewelry. Take I-80 East, exit 28, 15 minutes from downtown. Follow the signs to the Wild Horse Canyon from the exit, and that's where you'll find us.
You know you want to quit smoking. Well, you can do it in just a few steps. All you need is a little motivation.
Get ready.
First, set a date to quit.
Get medicine.
Talk to your doctor about medicines that can help you.
Get help.
Call 1-800-QUIT-NOW, a free service that can help you get started. Or go to ahrq.gov/consumer for more information about quitting.
You can quit smoking.
A few easy steps that'll help save your life. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Fox 1270.
Little boxes on the hillside, little boxes made of ticky-tacky, little boxes on the hillside, little boxes all the same. And there's a pink one and a green one and a blue one and a yellow one, and they're all made out of ticky-tacky and they all look just the same.
You're back on the Marilyn York Show with Jeff Giles, and we're talking about mortgages, yucky mortgages. Jeff was just giving a lecture on the break about living beyond my means because he's smart and he does formerly bankruptcy for a living and now this. And so I'm glad we're back on the air. So I'm protected because I feel guilty, dirty and guilty. So well, let's talk about you guys and your screwed up lives instead of mine. So we're talking about mortgage reorganization. Before I move on to short sales versus foreclosures, Jeff, are you seeing the banks organize or reduce the principal balances? Are those being modified?
That's the holy grail of this business, and it is so rare that it's almost not worth talking about. I think I've gotten one or two out of the last 100 I've done, and that will really open the floodgates. If the banks start knocking the principal down, then everybody's going to want it, even those that can afford their mortgages, simply because the values on the housing has collapsed. I don't think you're going to see much of that in the future unless the Obama administration starts incentivizing it to the servicers across the country. And there has been some talk of that because he's in such terrible trouble in the polls that a lot of that TARP money that hasn't been spent could be used for that. And it wouldn't require any congressional approval to do that. So I kind of think that might happen in October, just so he doesn't lose both houses of Congress.
Do you know why the principals were reorganized in the two instances you've seen? Could you figure out what, you know, allowed that to happen?
Well, I would say it's brilliant lawyering, but that'd be a lie.
It might not be a lie.
I don't know why the one happened. They actually took the person right down to the line with a foreclosure. and they had the sale set. I went down to see what happened because, you know, you have to know what happens at the sale. They won't tell you later. And the next day, they canceled it. They postponed it, I should say, for a month. And then the next day or the next week, we got a package in the mail offering to knock it down to 100 grand. I mean, they just push you as far as they can. But I have heard that
intentional
they are just...
infliction of emotional distress.
Yeah, they don't look at it from that standpoint. Apparently they look at how much of their losses they can take on their taxes this year versus next. And they don't want any more REO. I've seen sale after sale go right to the wire and then cancel.
Oh, okay.
And in this case, they offered the guy a $100,000 principal reduction. He wanted more. And we just played chicken with him. And I went to the foreclosure sale, the third postponed foreclosure sale last week, and it was canceled.
And you found out when you showed up.
When
not
I found
before.
Out when I showed up. That's how you have to do it. You can't just call them and ask
Nerve-wracking.
Yeah.
Holy cow. We have a caller on line one. Ray, what is your question for Mr. Giles?
This is your father, Ray, calling to say happy birthday.
Thank you.
And I do have a question for Mr. Giles.
Hi, Ray. I was just kidding about the birthday spanking.
I wasn't going to ask, but since you said that, you make me happy.
I am over 18 for those that are listening.
Jeff, we were living in California, and I know the mortgages were set up there so that the mortgage holder couldn't go after the homeowner past the home itself in default, and I understand that Nevada changed their laws recently to do the same, but most of these upside-down loans came before the Nevada law allows that protection for the homeowner. So I'm wondering, in reality, if a homeowner does default and owes maybe $100,000 beyond the value of the home, do the banks actually go after most people?
That's a good question, and the answer to that is yes and no. It depends on the situation. If it's a first mortgage, then they have only got 6 months after the foreclosure sale to file a lawsuit for deficiency. If they go 6 months in a day, the statute of limitations has run and you can defend that kind of thing. The trouble with the system is that people don't want a foreclosure on their credit report, so they'll get talked into a short sale by realtors who sometimes don't know how the law works or know how it works but are more interested in their commissions than they are anything else, and they will tell the people that if you do a short sale, they'll forgive the difference. And I have looked at the paperwork on those short sale deals repeatedly, and what you're doing there in 99% of the cases is extending the statute of limitations from 6 months to 6 years.
Ooh.
Now, the banks are so busy right now, they're usually letting the 6 months slide by without filing a suit. But if they've now got 6 years to do it, then they'll just put them in a pile and work them later, or they'll send the claim to a debt buyer. There's all kinds of companies out there that pay 5 cents on the dollar for those kind of claims and then sue the homeowner later to enforce those at par, which is just despicable, but not illegal.
And I had no idea that this was going on, and I am a lawyer, and I do divorce, and a lot of my divorce clientele does the short sale route when getting divorced, and I had no idea, so I'm thrilled to learn this information. I wish I knew it before, and I'm really upset to hear that it's happening.
Well, there is a federal program to eliminate the deficiency. It's called HAFA. It's very much like HAMP, and I don't know what that acronym means, but you fill an application out with the home affordable modification forms, and if you get approved, then there will be no deficiency. Again, the servicer is getting money from the government, and they walk away from the claim. But those, I haven't seen one happen yet.
And are those on the first only?
Yeah, that's a deal for the first. The second is a whole another situation, and there's no 6 months limitation on the seconds. They can come after you for 6 years on those. And unfortunately, I'm defending a lot of lawsuits where the sold-out junior mortgage holder comes in later and sues for the deficiency.
And they're not extending that statute of limitations on the short sales because there's no reason to.
They'll get to it in 6 years, even though they can't get to it in 6 months these days.
Well, thanks for calling, Dad. Thanks for the birthday well wishes.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye. Speaking of the deficiencies, there's a tax ramification as well if a deficiency is actually forgiven, if they don't come after you in the 6 months, for example. Is there a tax penalty that you're supposed to pay on the forgived amount?
That's a complicated question. It works two ways. If they forgive the debt, then they will send you a 1099 C at the end of the year. And whether you have to pay taxes on that or not is a function of a couple of things. One, if you're insolvent, then you can file a special tax form. It's a form 982 that will prevent you from having to pay tax on that amount if you're insolvent. If you're not insolvent, there is a statute that was passed on an emergency basis a couple of years ago that says you don't have to pay tax because of the foreclosure. And I think that statute sunsets in 2012, but I certainly would check with a CPA on that.
Okay, that's good to know. We have a break coming up, but I have a few more questions on this issue. What changes do you expect to see from Obama in the near future, if any?
Well, there's been some talk that the HAMP program is in trouble and it's not getting the results that it was forecast to get a year ago, and they may cancel it, they may beef it up. It's really just so much scuttlebutt that you hear. You know, I talk to my Washington friends and they say, well, this is what's going around the Hill and blah, blah, blah. Who knows what's going to happen? It seems reasonable that Obama is going to pump some more money into the problem right before the elections. That's just a guess for obvious reasons, but I've heard nothing formal or, you know.
And how do we resolve this conflict that you talked about with the service provider versus the pool? Is there any resolution that you can imagine that might make that less of a problem at the mediation table?
Boy, it's just a matter of education and knowledge. It is a problem that just won't go away.
And we can't pay you to help us, apparently.
Well, I'm litigating the issue, and it's going up to the Nevada Supreme Court. And
okay, good.
That'll take 2 years for it to be decided, I'm guessing. But at some point, it's got to be addressed, and that's been the focus of what I'm doing. But it's a tough sell because it's so complicated. When you deal with the securitization of a mortgage, you know, you try and explain this to somebody, and it's the most difficult thing they've seen this week. I mean, stripping down a Harley 103 might be harder, but that's just me because I'm not mechanically oriented. But it's the toughest thing that I've done conceptually in some time is figuring this process out. It's a mess.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll be right back after the break to finish talking about this topic and talk to some more listeners.
There's a lot going on right here in Nevada. Rather than just hear about it, talk about it. 6 to 10 weekdays, Fox 1270 in the morning.
If you've never visited the Wild Horse Saloon, you need to come out and visit. It's Nevada's most unique saloon with great food, great libations, amazing entertainment 24 hours a day. What kind of entertainment, you ask? Well, the Wild Horse Saloon has brought back live burlesque shows with new shows starting every hour, 24 hours a day, with different entertainers every hour. No show is ever the same twice. So come to the Wild Horse. Throw your legs over the saddle. We have actual Western saddle bar stools. And order a cold beer. The Wild Horse Saloon is the place to go and let your hair down. Just have fun. We have fabulous food with everything from pizzas and wings to hamburgers and steaks. We're a huge lunch spot from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. and we serve our full food menu until 10 at night and hors d'oeuvres the rest of the night. I'm Susan Austin and I'm personally inviting you to come out and see us at the Wild Horse Saloon. Take I-80 East to exit 28. It's just 15 minutes from downtown Reno. Follow the signs to the Wild Horse Canyon from the exit. See you soon.
I'm attorney Marilyn York, and my firm exclusively focuses on men's rights in divorce, child custody, and family law matters. 90% of homeless and runaway children are from fatherless homes. 71% of all high school dropouts come from fatherless homes. These shocking statistics do go on and on. And yet, in the context of divorce and separation, 50% of mothers see no value in the father's continued contact with their children. 40% of mothers report that they have interfered with their father's visitation solely to punish their ex. We can help you protect your children from being a part of these statistics, even when their mothers won't. Our courts do care about you and your children. At a minimum, you need legal advice when you're going through something like this, and you may need representation. If you do, call me, Marilyn York, at 324-7979. That's 324-7979. Or visit our website at marilynyork.net.
There's a piece of Nevada's history just 15 minutes from downtown Reno, the legendary Mustang Ranch Museum, Nevada's first legal bordello. Learn about owner Joe Conforti, where he went sideways with the feds over taxes, and they ended up owning and operating the Mustang Ranch. Take a walk down memory lane with Joe and Sally. See where they lived while they worked. You can see the Rolling Stone magazine cover featuring Joe and his ladies, among other original magazine covers. The Mustang Ranch Museum runs tours from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. for groups large and small, Monday through Saturday. If you have a large group, please book in advance by calling 775-343-1424. Walk-ins are welcome, too. Tours cost $5. Plus, we have a wonderful gift shop with T-shirts, shot glasses, baseball caps, and the largest selection of Native American jewelry. Take I-80 East, exit 28, 15 minutes from downtown. Follow the signs to the Wild Horse Canyon from the exit, and that's where you'll find us. If you've never visited the Wild Horse Saloon, you need to come out and visit. It's Nevada's most unique saloon with great food, great libations, amazing entertainment 24 hours a day. What kind of entertainment, you ask? Well, the Wild Horse Saloon has brought back live burlesque shows, with new shows starting every hour, 24 hours a day, with different entertainers every hour. No show is ever the same twice. So come to the Wild Horse. Throw your legs over the saddle. We have actual Western saddle bar stools, and order a cold beer. The Wild Horse Saloon is the place to go and let your hair down. Just have fun. We have fabulous food with everything from pizzas and wings to hamburgers and steaks. We're a huge lunch spot from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., and we serve our full food menu until 10 at night, and hors d'oeuvres the rest of the night. I'm Susan Austin, and I'm personally inviting you to come out and see us at the Wild Horse Saloon. Take I-80 East to exit 28. It's just 15 minutes from downtown Reno. Follow the signs to the Wild Horse Canyon from the exit. See you soon.
Fox News Radio, 1270.
Well, I got a job and tried to put my money away, but I got debts that no honest man can pay. So I drew what I had from the Central Trust, and I bought us two tickets on that close city bus. Now, baby, everything dies, honey, that's a fact.
You're back on the Marilyn York Show with Jeff Giles, the local attorney extraordinaire who does this crazy mediation negotiation and all that goodness surrounding mortgage loan modification fantasies sometimes and realities when you have him, as well as foreclosure. And we were just going to get into banks. We talked a little crap about them. We're going to talk a little more crap. You have a last chance to call and talk to Mr. Giles or me on my birthday, 823-1920. So banks, who's the worst one out there? Let's trash talk first.
Well, I think the most confused and behind the curve bank is Wells. Biggest
Fargo.
Retail bank in the country, and they're unable to even answer their phones half the time.
Yeah, it gets harder, people.
It's a wonder. I don't know. Bank of America has been bad-mouthed a lot, but they have done some good things, and I've made more deals with them than anybody else out there.
Which shocks me, because I hate you, Bank of America. You are my bank, and you strand me in every city of the country and every country I've been to by cutting off my ATM cards and leaving me stranded with no money with my child. Seven times so far?
You should never use an ATM card. I have never used one in my life.
You're a man. You guys use cash. If I use cash, I spend it constantly, and it's gone in 10 seconds, and I'm stranded again.
Well, now that is the difference, isn't it?
I can't carry enough cash. I'm too immature with my spending. But I got stranded in New York City last year, like 20 blocks from the nearest B of A, and I called them, and they asked me, this is the security question, what day did you open your bank account? I'm like, are you effing kidding me? Who cares? Who even has that information? Day? And it's like 10 years ago. I'm like, ask me my bra size. I'll tell you who I am. No, you have to walk to the bank, because I have no money, and show them your ID and prove that you are who you say you are. So me and my four-year-old walking 20 blocks in 102 degree humidity, and then I show my ID, and the bank's like, why are you here? I don't understand what you want from us.
Okay. That's kind of like my trip to Saudi Arabia last year. They don't take credit cards, and they don't take a cashier or a...
Oh, cashier's checks, or I mean traveler's checks.
Yeah. I said, what do you pay with? I said, cash. And I said, what if I don't have any?
Yeah.
The guy just looked at me like, you know, are you mad?
Stuck.
This is Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, seriously.
And he was speaking in Arabic, so it was even harder.
Well, there's that little snafu. So I guess I should stop whining. They did strand me in China, too, in a similar manner. So back to the banks.
To the bad banks. Let me tell you what I've seen, and it's so shocking. You've heard of a prepayment penalty, right?
I've heard of it. I haven't done it because that would require me to prepay.
Well, they have got some of these loans set up in this fashion. You know, you have a guy that's got a $975 a month payment, and there's a prepayment penalty in the fine print in the thing. Well, he wants to be sure he doesn't underpay, because if you underpay by 2 cents, they send it back and they declare you in default. So he sends them an extra $25 and sends them an even $1,000. Well, he has prepaid $25 of the principal. Prepayment penalty triggers, and that's $500. So he gets a bill in the mail for $475 because he's late. He's in default. And if he doesn't pay that bill that month, guess what? The interest rate goes from 6% to 18%, the default rate, and the way the note is engineered.
All because you prepaid $25.
Because you prepaid $25.
Well, and the bills are confusing because I get a bill, of course, like everyone, a mortgage bill every month, and it says additional principal. That's the first column, as though this is such a big habit of people to pay additional principal, additional interest, and then the total you're paying. And it always shows you all the way to the right-hand side the payment if it's late, which is a higher payment amount. And I almost always write the check for the wrong amount first, like I'm paying it late, and then I look again and say, oh, wait, that's not my actual mortgage amount, and it's not late. So I bet you people prepay and get that penalty kicked in by looking at the wrong box like me and adding the extra $100 to it, you know, not knowing their mortgage number every month.
Well, it could be. Don't get me wrong. Not all mortgages are structured like this.
Well, mine's not. Thank you, Dad, for negotiating it for me because I'm immature. Well, and I know I don't have a prepayment penalty. But generally speaking, that would be an easy way to trick someone into doing it and get that, you know, benefit of the higher interest, the penalties, the $500 fine.
This is some of the subprime loans that have caused so much trouble. Mercifully, those subprime loans have pretty well all flushed. Those were the first wave of foreclosures that we saw a couple of years ago.
When's the second wave coming, Jeff? Tell us the bad news.
The second wave is going to be next year. Federal Reserve Board says that these toxic mortgages, these option arms, they're going to reset in droves. They've put it on a curve. It's kind of a bell curve that peaks in 2011. So that's when
the world's coming to an end next
year. The world could come to an end. It depends on how the mortgages are set up. Some of them are one-way ratchets. They can't go down. They can only go up, and those payments will probably stay pretty close to the same. If it can go down, it could possibly go down a little bit, but some of them are just going to go up no matter what because they're teaser rates right now.
Interest only, all that.
I remember there was a sign on Virginia Street years ago, you know, you could get a negative AM, 1%, $500,000 loan, you know, and all those loans have cratered because of property values. We just don't have any real predatory lending laws in Nevada that would stop that sort of thing. Yeah.
We have a call. Frank, what's your question? And ask it fast if you can, because we're coming up to the end.
Yes, Jeff. You say not to use an ATM card. Why is that?
Well, I don't like to use ATM cards because I spend the money and I forget about it, and then I can never reconcile my account. And, you know, when you overdraw your account or make a mistake, they charge you $70.
You need my dad to balance your checking account like me, Jeff. I'm immature, and he handles that for me. So
I just had to run down to the bank last week because my wife overdrew it, and it was a $70 penalty. I said, look, I got down within 2 hours. Give me a break
here. Seriously.
And they said, break?
Yeah. You know, you need bigger breasts, Jeff, because they always write mine off.
Right. I felt like
I was
place that sponsors the show here.
In fact, I send the bigger breast women in my office that are far cuter than me, and they definitely write it off then. So I'm sorry we have an advantage finally. I don't use ATM cards because they strand me in China. So that would be my advice to you, Frank. What were you saying?
What was that?
I said, I don't use ATM cards because they strand me in different countries and cities across the U.S. They want me to call in advance at Bank of America and ask them for permission to travel, tell them where I'm going. So I find that a little restrictive at my age. That's my advice.
Okay. Thanks.
Thanks for calling, Frank. Okay. We were talking about dirty tricks of banks and the prepayment penalty issue.
Well, there's another dirty trick that they pull. Back in 2001, all the uniform mortgage documents were changed, and it required, if you had a Freddie or Fannie guarantee, that when you make a payment and you're late, that the money be paid in a particular order, interest, principal, late charges, and other fees. That was, you know, the contractual obligation that the note imposed, and invariably the banks will collect their late fees first, and that'll mean there's not enough money for the principal and interest, which will generate another late fee, and that's called pyramiding. And they do this as a business model too.
Lovely.
And when they get taken to task, you know, the courts will take them down for that, but you know, that's one case out of 1,000, and they're making all that money on the rest of them, so the business model works for them.
Well, thanks for coming on, Jeff Giles. Give him a call if you guys need help, and next week we'll hear from Dick Gamek to refute Roger Holmes' allegations on September 11th, Veterans Day. The MarylandYorkShow.com if you want to see or hear old shows. Thank you so much.